Welcome back to Donnie's Den, part of the Bonnie's Soccer Insider on the Bonnie's Online Network. I'm your host today, Kieran Keneally, joined by Jeffrey Canova, and we're also joined by Bonnie's Women's Soccer Head Coach, Donnie George, and a special guest, Bonnie's Women's Assistant Soccer Coach, Kendrick Tomino. How are you both doing today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
I'm good, thanks.
Good, yep, good to hear. Yep. All right, we'll get into our first segment here, like we usually do. We'll do a recap of the last couple of games. So you've had some games against VCU and Davidson recently. What are your guys' main takeaway from both of those games?
So traveling against VCU was one of the games that we watched to try and steal points, right? Points on the road are always a good thing. And looking at VCU and the caliber of team that they are, we knew it was going to be difficult. So we had a plan, and our plan kind of went really, really well. You know, I thought the first half, after an individual error, if you look at their goal, it was an individual error from us. After that first goal, I thought we settled in very, very nicely, and I thought we were arguably the better team. You know, I thought VCU had a quite direct style of play, and we dealt with that quite well. They do have a very good player on the wing that we wanted to make sure that we kept quiet, and we felt like BK, our captain, was a great candidate to do that, and I thought she'd done very well against you know, one of the best wingers in the conference. And then we were able to score a good goal. You know, second half, I think they put a lot of pressure on us, and they came out just like any home team would. And I thought we dealt with that really well. But overall, I mean, it's a really, really good point against a really, really good team who will likely be, you know, a top 16 this year. So we're very happy with the VCU game. Last night against Davidson, obviously a different story. You know, a team that we would hope to pick up points against, especially being at home, right? I thought we set ourselves up quite well. And if you look at the stats, I mean, every stat that you can pick out of that game was in our favor, apart from the stat that counts, which is the scoreline, right? You know, conceding four goals at home is never a good thing. And we certainly have some things that we have to look at and have some hard conversations with some players. But we'll look to bounce back on Sunday and hopefully get a positive result.
Yeah, kind of going back a little bit to the VCU game, in our previous episode with Kwame during on Aduro's Corner, he mentioned that VCU was one of the toughest places to go to, and I believe what he said was, I think the crowd or like the fans away section. To you first, and then I'll go to you, Kendrick, as well. What was that experience? What was the fans' experience like over there as well?
Yeah, it was. It was actually my first time there. I know Kendrick has been there probably more than me, you know, as a player. But it was an interesting place because it's one of those fields that is a really nice grass field. Really nice grass field. It has a track, a big track, and then, you know, quite a large stadium. The location of the field is kind of away from campus, which is interesting. You know, the day before the game, we went downtown to their campus, which was really nice. You know, a city campus, lots of things to see and do, lots of people. But the field is kind of off to the side, and yeah, it was one of those challenging environments because of the stand is set back, and they did have quite a large crowd. You know, but again, I thought the girls dealt with that, and part of the reason is, I know I've spoken about this many times, you know, we've been to Texas Tech, we've been to Baylor, right? We've been to Syracuse. You know, there's no team or no location that we're going to go to that is bigger than those. So, you know, that preparation, I definitely think, helped us against VCU. But it was a good experience for the girls.
Yeah, and Kendrick, about, you know, as a former player, you've been to VCU a few times. What was that experience like, and what were some of the advice that you also gave to those players of just going to an environment like, you know, VCU's ground?
Yeah, so in the past, they've always had a pretty decent crowd, and if I can remember correctly and thinking of the correct games and stuff, I remember players before me telling stories, kind of touching on what Kwame has said about VCU and how their crowds and their students can be pretty brutal. And that's hard to overcome as any player when students are chirping at you and they're calling you out by name because they've looked up the roster beforehand. That's always kind of hard to overcome, and it's very distracting. I don't think we experienced too much of that on Sunday, but, you know, I did did tell the team, and especially girls that have played VCU before, that they're going to be a tough team. Not only are they physical, and they're fast and they're good athletes, they're also technical, and like Coach said, they have a very good winger and some other key players that make it difficult to defend, difficult to play through. But I think that we prepared the girls well enough where they weren't going into this game feeling like they weren't prepared, but they also weren't cocky and like thinking that this should be easy. And I think that's how we should prepare for every game. Like, we need to respect our opponent, and I think that our team definitely respects VCU, and I think that the girls that have played them before played a huge role in that. Like, they I think definitely helped prepare our underclassmen, like, this is going to be a tough game and we're going to have to earn whatever we come home with. And I think they definitely did that.
And Coach Kendrick, you're talking about how it's tough playing at VCU with the atmosphere, with the fans. What are some of the ways as a player that you were able to like stay calm and not get distracted by the noise from the surrounding fans and crowd?
Yeah, for me, when I was a player, like whenever I felt like distracted or there were things that could possibly like distract me, and I give this advice to current players, whether it's outside distractions or maybe it's distractions that come naturally, like getting in your own head. For me, the biggest part to always stay focused and kind of stay in the zone is communicating. Whenever I felt myself getting distracted, or maybe I wasn't even performing the way I wanted to, I started getting into my own head, communicating to my teammates helped enforce me stay in the moment, stay locked in. Because if you're giving information, if you're constantly talking, even if it's like little things, that forces you to stay focused on what is happening and kind of to block out all of the other noise. And I've told the girls multiple times, like, even if you're getting in your head, if you're having a bad game, you're not performing the way you want to, if you can communicate to other players, like, that's going to force you to keep yourself focused on the play at hand, whether you're on the ball or you're not on the ball. So that's always my biggest piece of advice, and that's something that I tried to do a lot of. And there were a lot of games where I wasn't playing at my best, or I wasn't, you know, being successful in the ways that I wanted to personally be successful. But if I can be a good teammate always and communicate to others, that forces me to really pay attention at what's happening to block out everything on the outside.
Kind of now going back to the games that we want to kind of recap, what are some aspects for both of you do you think that the team kind of needs to improve on before the next game on Sunday?
I think the biggest thing for us, and I think I've mentioned this before previously, is consistency. And that's something that this team is really struggling with right now. And arguably, again, the biggest factor to that is how young this team is. And I know I've spoken this many, many times, but it is a factor, and it is playing into our lack of consistency right now. You know, we had a conversation this morning about how difficult it was to travel to VCU and all the adversity we faced. We traveled, we had some issues with travel, but the girls were still able to go there and fight and compete and get a really positive result, right? And then a couple of days later, you know, we're seeing something that is a little different than what we saw a few days earlier. So to me, you know, that is a consistency thing. And, you know, every team and every coach and every player is struggling with this. It's a long season. It's a competitive season. You know, games are back to back. For us, I think we have a young team, and I think they're finding it challenging to wake up one day and be as best they can be for one game, and then having to go through that two or three days later with, you know, a week of school in between and stuff like that. So for me, consistency is definitely one thing that is something that the team is struggling with right now. And arguably, I think that the second piece, if I could continue, is meaningful and creating chances in the final third. I mean, again, if we look at Davidson, you know, many stats in our favor. I'll just reel off a couple. Again, I'm under no illusion that these stats are not the most meaningful, because again, the stat in the top left-hand corner is the most meaningful, but we had 75% possession of the ball against Davidson. You know, we possessed the ball for 43 minutes and they had the ball for 13 minutes, right? So if you look at some of those things, we have to do a better job in converting that into real goal scoring opportunities. And that's something that we're going to look at this week especially. But I would say those two things, consistency overall, and then how do we convert all this wonderful possession time on the ball into real goal scoring opportunities.
And sort of following up on that, you talked about a game where you had so much possession yet lost the game to Davidson. After the full-time whistle yesterday, what was the message to the team? What did you really want to tell them or get across to them?
Yeah, for me, it was really important to let the girls know that we have this has to be better and we have to do better here, right? As the home team, again, that's the big thing. If you get a result like that on the road, you know, especially a difficult road trip, you know, you can argue that, you know, this is a tough place to be and travel and stuff like that. But the fact that we were at home, I think it's a little bit more difficult to accept that. So the message to the girls was, look, we need to knuckle down and get to work. We've still got work to do. We still can achieve our goal this year, which is to compete for a conference spot. If you look at the games left, again, I think there's some games that if we are at our best, we can get positive results. So yeah, the message was, let's knuckle down and turn this negative result into a positive result on Sunday.
All right, and then with that, we'll transition to our next segment about the coaching and playing career of Coach Kendrick. And we wanted to first ask, when did the idea of becoming a coach begin for you?
So soccer has always been a huge part of my life. It was always an escape for me. It was always where I felt like I was the best version of myself. And when I was younger, you know, every girl, she wants to think that she's going to go on after college and she's going to play for a pro team, play overseas, stuff like that. And if I'm being honest, like still in high school, like those were still dreams that I had. But as I got into college and I really started thinking about what I wanted to do, for me, it always came down between coaching and teaching. But I think those two are one and the same. And for me, what it comes down to is I love helping people in the sense that I want to help people see that they are capable of doing hard things. And also for me, like I wanted to be a role model for females. I think I have a personality where it's easy for me to make connections with people. It's easy for me to talk to people that I don't know very well. And I find success in being able to help people believe in themselves and helping them kind of overcome things that they might think that they are not capable of doing. So that's kind of for me where I really decided that I wanted to go into coaching. Just because I think that I can relate to people in that setting and I can do it through something that I've loved my whole life. And especially with girls at the college level, you know, they're here because they love it just as much as I do. So I think we have that as kind of like a common ground. And mixed with a bunch of other things, I really think that I'm able to get the most out of people in that sort of environment. And also just being a role model, because college is a hard time, especially for girls. That's where, and for anybody, that's the biggest chunk of your life where you grow the most, you learn the most about yourself. And that's where I really wanted to be able to help girls kind of navigate that part of their life, again, while doing it through something that they love as much as I do.
Yeah. And a little bit of a follow-up question to you talking about wanting to help players. Do you have a story of some type that you like, yes, that like I helped her out today, you know, I got her through these tough moments?
I wouldn't say I've had my big story yet. There are a lot of little moments to me that mean the most. And it's just little things like girls coming to me and asking like, hey, like, what should I do in this situation? Or especially defenders, because I was a defender. Girls just asking me little things like those, like to me, like that's enough. It has been a huge like part for me so far, because I am just like starting, and for them to respect me enough, to trust me enough to come to me, even with little questions like those, like that's enough for me right now. And that fulfills me enough, because like I said, that shows me that they trust me, they respect me. They're coming to me because they think that I can give them an answer. So those little moments, I would say like, that's enough for me right now. I don't have a big breakthrough story. And I hope I don't have that yet. I just started my career, but for me, those little things, they mean a lot more to me than I think the girls realize.
So we were wondering a perspective that a lot of people might not think about, but what does the day in the life look like of being an assistant coach at the collegiate level?
Yeah, I'm still learning. It's been a lot of learning this year, but It kind of depends what day of the week it is, in terms of, like, am I preparing for a home game that week, or are we preparing for an away game? Away game is a little bit more, it's a little bit more chaotic and a little bit more stressful, especially this year. We've had a lot more flights. We're traveling and flying more than ever. And for me, that is, like, it's so stressful. You know, I feel like I'm taking care of 28 or however many we travel of my own personal children. I want to make sure everyone gets through security. No one has anything in their bags that's going to get them flagged. Everyone has their seat on the plane. Everyone's name and birthdays, it's spelled right. And then when we get to whatever airport we are, do we have our vans, all that stuff. And we've run into multiple issues this year with traveling. But other than that, it's just like, it is like the little things, especially being in this chair now, that you players don't even realize. Like, they walk out to practice, everything's set up. They get on the bus for a away trip. All they have to do is put in what they want for food. Like, they don't think about the little things that I now have to think about. Like, oh, I have to figure out, one, where are we going to eat? Does this work within our route to our destination? Okay, now I have to call this restaurant. Now I have to make sure everyone gets their order put in, and I have to make sure all those orders are right. And all the little things like that, all the little setup that just goes into even the smallest things, whether it's for practice or for film, or making sure, like, laundry's done, all that stuff. Everyone has their game outfit. Everyone has all the stuff, packing lists, like, all that stuff that players, you just show up and it's done for them. That's kind of now my new daily routine, and just finding a way that I can stay organized and prioritize what needs to get done first, and things that I can kind of put off a little bit. So it's a learning curve. Every day I'm learning and thinking of new ways and new routines that allows me to be the most effective at what I need to get done.
Wow. Salute to you, to everything that you do. I mean, wow. Props. You're lucky, Donnie, man. I know. But also, kind of, you were talking about more of the stuff off the field. I wanted to go a little bit more on the field. How different is your job as a coach, like, on the field compared to, like, Donnie's job? You know, like, how do you talk or even give advice, like, on the field? Are you more of, like, a talkative, or are you just more from, like, from the side? You know, like, what's your type of coaching?
Yeah, again, it's all a learning curve. I'm still learning those moments of when is my time to maybe speak up or something. I don't necessarily categorize myself as a quiet person by any means, and I think Coach will, he can attest to that. Mainly for me, if I have a different opinion or something else, like, I respect him enough where I will, like, bring it in a way that is like, hey, like, this is what I'm thinking. I just want to bounce this idea off you, because, like, anybody, like, no one's going to agree or have the same opinion or have the same thought idea. So, like, I feel like my job is to constantly just bring new ideas to the table, because he has so many things on his mind, so many things on his plate that he is to think of. And I always try my best to support those. I'm always aligned with whatever opinions, whatever he says, and make sure that I'm giving the same message in everything I do. That's my first priority and my first goal, is always making sure that I'm aligned with what he's saying. And it's not because that's my job. Genuinely, most of the time I'm on the same page as him and the same, you know, goals and beliefs and ideas that he has. I'm like, yes, this is what we need to do. And if we need to change it, we'll figure it out. But in terms of on the field stuff, unless girls come up to me separately, you know, I'll go up to Donnie and say, hey, this is what I'm noticing. This is what I'm seeing, whether it's with this player or in this play. And he's like, yeah, you're right. Go talk to them. So I'm very grateful that he's given me the responsibility, and he trusts me in that sense, where there are times where I can go off on my own and bring a group of girls or bring a player aside and be like, hey, this is what we're seeing. This is a change we want to see and stuff like that. So I think it's been a very good balance, and that's how it should be. And that's part of the learning that I'm still doing. But I think overall we have a pretty good balance, and I have a good balance of knowing, okay, this is a time for me to step in. This is a time for me to support what's already going on.
Yeah, Coach, and kind of a little question to you, talking about how Kendrick is learning as an assistant coach. What have you been kind of teaching her to kind of help her get to that next level?
Yeah, first off, Kendrick is doing exceptional, okay? You know, when Kendrick approached me about the possibility of starting a coaching career, I was all for it straight away. And being her coach, for me, it was very easy to see that she was an outstanding leader. She has outstanding morals, and she also has the knowledge and the drive to be able to coach soccer at a high level. So, you know, when this idea came up, for me, it was, yes, how can we make this work, right? Now, my responsibility as the head coach of this program, in regards to Kendrick, I want to set her up for success, right? I want to give her as many opportunities to step into the coaching role as possible. And yeah, we're very early in her career, but many, many times she has and is given many opportunities to do that, right? So, you know, Kendrick mentions about some of the administration stuff that she does, right? And she does a phenomenal job at that. But also on the soccer field, she's now finding her voice, you know, in practices. She normally has a time of practice that is dedicated to her where she can step in and coach. There's many times during practice that I'll take a step back and I'll observe Kendrick as she's coaching and how she's applying her message and how she's addressing the team and how she's talking to the team and things like that. So, you know, she's definitely on a journey, and everything that she's doing very, very well. For me, I have no doubt in 20 years time, I know it sounds like a long time away, but remember, Kendrick's, you know, 23 years old. You know, in 20 years time, I think that she, the world is her oyster. And I think if this is the career that she wants to stay in, which I have no doubt that she does, you know, she'll be coaching at a very, very high level. And I'm really excited for her. And, you know, she has my support, and, you know, together we'll solve problems here. But again, you know, I think that her destiny is a very, very high level.
I'm just kind of dying to know, what are those drills looking? What are your individual drills like? Because I know Coach just said that, but what are those drills that you work with?
Yeah, so, I mean, at first we kind of started small, right? Because this is all brand new to me. But I backtrack a little bit. You know, during COVID, when I was still a player here and everything was shut down, I actually started my own camp at home for my town, because during COVID, there weren't soccer camps anywhere around, because you just couldn't. So me and my parents, we kind of figure out a way, like, okay, how can you kind of start this and be a little part of something during COVID when everything is shut down? And for 3 years, I ran my own camp, and I had probably about a group of 20 to 25 players, and it was just myself. We would do it 3 days a week, and it was just a little like skills and training session for an hour and a half. And I did it for 3 years because each year people were like, are you going to do this again next year? And parents loved it. I had a variety of ages. And that's really where I figured out, like, okay, I can do this, and this is something that I wanted to do. And it was the best part about my week, is that hour and a half. So in terms of that, I kind of was going into this season, and when Donnie started giving me more responsibilities like coaching at practice, I was kind of going in with that little bit of confidence. Like, I know how to talk to a group. I'm comfortable in this setting. I know what I'm talking about. And the biggest thing was, I've played for him, so I know what he's expecting. I know what his expectations are for how intense practice should be, when it's not good enough, and the general terms of how he speaks to the team. So going into these little drills, I was confident in that sense. So we started off simple, just me running some like passing segments, stuff like that, before we would get into the main drills of our practice. And then we just started building on from there to where it was me actually like starting at the board before practice, going through, okay, here's the drill that we're going to do that I'm running. Here's what the principles are. Here's what the main objectives are. Here's what I'm looking for. Here are my coaching points that I want you guys to focus on. And we would go out and do it. And the very first practice, this will always be a memory of mine, is when I use my whistle for the first time. Donnie, he always wants me to get in the habit of using my whistle, wearing it whether I'm coaching or not, and I was always nervous to do it. And I remember this one practice, I like took practice whistle blows in the office because I've never really blown one like seriously before, and I was running a drill and I used it for my first time. And I didn't know this, but Donnie had texted one of the captains like at lunch beforehand. He's like, when Kendrick blows her whistle for the first time, everyone's gonna stop and clap for her, and that's what they did. So that will always be a core memory of mine. But yeah, these drills, each practice I do something more, whether it's a passing pattern, whether it's an attacking drill, whether I'm coaching a team during when we're scrimmaging, stuff like that. Again, using the board, talking to them before practice. It's just little things like that that we've really started to build off of. And each time I do that, I get more confident. I'm learning, and it's just really helped my journey.
And talking a little bit now as a coach too, but as you're playing career at Bonaventure, you are a defender here. And do you feel that you have a connection with the current core of defenders and you can give them advice from your playing career as a defender?
Yes. I think a lot of my relationships and advice, it's easy for me because I played with a lot of them, right? So I've talked with a lot of them, like in the locker room at halftime. You know, I was always trying to help solve problems, like in games. So I have that relationships with a lot of our current defenders, which has made it really easy for me. But definitely, yes, I would be lying if I didn't say I do feel more comfortable talking to defenders, just because that's where I played and that's where I feel like I have the most knowledge and I'm most confident. So yes, I do feel like most of the girls who do ask me a question, they are defenders. And I feel like that I definitely do connect with them a little bit more. I am starting to get more comfortable in the knowledge that I'm giving, of course, to our midfielders and forwards. And I try to do that more often. And I try to purposely go to those players a little bit more because that's only going to help me learn. So I'm not only am I trying to get them knowledge, but that's also helping me grow more confident and more knowledgeable in those areas, which is going to make me a better coach in the end.
And you were talking about that you've played with some of these defenders when you were a player. What's it like coaching them now? What's that aspect kind of feel like?
Yeah, so all summer long, me and Donnie talked about that a lot. And it was something that I was nervous about, but nervous in the sense of, is it going to be weird? Because when I was a player and played with a majority of the team, they knew that when I was on the field, I meant business. I was focused in a soccer and practice, the game, whatever I was doing, that was the only thing that had my attention in that moment. So I knew, and I was also a captain, so I knew that they were going to respect me. They were going to know that I'm serious about this in terms of that. But I was still a little nervous naturally because, you know, I went through college with some of these girls. So I knew that there was going to be a little, it was going to be weird for a little bit of a period of time. But if I'm being honest, they were amazing. And they respected me right away. And they respected me as a player, but they respected me, when I say that, I mean, they started calling me coach right away. And it was, Coach K, can you help me? Coach this, coach that, you know? And that was something that I thought was going to take time just because, you know, they've been calling me Kendrick, Kenzie for 2-3 years. And now, like, just, you know, that natural transition, but they picked up on it right away. And that made me just feel so much more comfortable. And I think a big thing that helped was I had, during preseason, I had the whole team over to my apartment without Donnie, without any of our other coaching staff. It was just me and the girls. And we did a little like team bonding activity, but before we started, I kind of gave a little like speech, and it was, we were a week or 2 weeks into our preseason, and I start off by saying thank you to them because of how awesome they were, how easy they made this transition for me, how much they've already helped me grow in the few weeks that I've been their coach. And I just expressed to them, like, look, I was nervous about this, but you guys have been better than I could imagine. And I think that also having those previous relationships with the majority of the team, it made me feel more comfortable talking to that crowd. And it kind of lightened the mood sometimes when I was feeling really stressed or really anxious when I was talking to them. But seeing those familiar faces and seeing and knowing that, you know, they're my friends, I know they love me, I know they care for me, it made it that much easier. And something I'll also never forget is after the first few practices, I had a handful of girls text me that I played with last year, and they were saying, I'm so proud of you. You did awesome. Like, I'm so happy that you're doing this and living out this dream. And those were moments that it almost brought me to tears because they've just been nothing but supportive and respectful of this journey of mine. And I couldn't imagine starting it anywhere else with faces that I'm just meeting for the first time.
Yeah, lastly, to close off your segment, Kendrick, from what your responses are kind of sounding like, do you plan on becoming a head coach in the future?
I do, yeah. You know, each day that I'm here and the more I learn and the more comfortable I get, you know, I can't imagine myself being or doing any other job and working in any other environment. You know, this is like a dream for me, being able to go outside and watch soccer, you know, wear sneakers and shorts every day, getting to talk to just really cool people like Donnie, and being to like just interact with athletes all the time, you know, people that I feel like I relate the most to. I can't see myself being in any other work environment.
Yeah, and I just wanted to ask, do you have a favorite coach that isn't Donnie George, obviously, because I think that would be too much of an easy answer that you kind of looked up to?
Yeah, obviously, Donnie has helped me tremendously, and he's been a great role model, and he's someone that I respect and look up to. But besides him, it would have to be my club coach, George Kyrgiazgis. I know I'm not saying his last name right, but he's Greek. He was my club coach for a big chunk of my time before Bonaventure, and he played professionally in Greece, Italy, and the U.S., and he was a defender. So for me, I think that before here and before coming to Bonaventure, he was he helped shape who I was as a player tremendously. And he just knew that I wanted this, and this is something that I, like a goal that I had set for myself, and he did everything he could to help me try and reach that. And, you know, he was also like, he was just a good person too. And he helped me in that sense too with my character. And that's something he also helped me build going into college, is he helped me prepare for the character and kind of the personality that takes to play Division I college soccer. So not only did he help me grow as a player, but he helped me grow in that sense. And, you know, we still keep in touch today. And he has two sons, and he always kind of joked that I was his daughter that he never had. So he's definitely a coach that I've always looked up to and always respected, of course, aside from Donnie.
All right. Well, that will be all for today's episode. Thank you, Coach Donnie and Coach Kendrick, for joining us on today's episode. Thank you, and my co-host.